Remember when you used to be able to search on your iTunes like the newest songs you've added?
Yeah.
Why'd they take that away?
Because they're the worst. All right, so now what you have to do is when you're in music, go to playlists, and then the left bar should show up again, and it should say recently added on the side.
Look at that.
And how is Set Fire to the Rain by Adele recently added from me?
I think the better question is, where the f*** do you have Adele on here?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck! It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, a little bit better than the Caps are right now. We had a show last week where we kind of talking like, hey, these guys look great. They're doing a great job. Way to go, boys.
Yeah, way to make us look like a bunch of idiots.
And then this week, they go on a road trip. They come back home, and they lose three in a row to go into the All-Star break. So I'm gonna attribute one of those losses, the one against Dallas, and the fact that it was back-to-back nights. They were tired. They were on the road. So that could be somewhat of the reason why they lost that game. But the other two, it seems as if they really had these games in hand, ready to go. They were going to win it. And then they just, as you always so politely put it, crap the bed.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, they did. There's no other real way, great way to put it. I mean, since we last talked, the Caps went 0-2-1. They lost both Nashville and Dallas and that ridiculous overtime loss to Edmonton. And you could see it coming in the Nashville game where it's not that they checked out, but they weren't playing quite as well. And then it just led to one mistake, Niskanen with that stupid pass that went right to James Neal, and he scored for them to get the win. I mean, the Nashville game, I didn't see a lot of the Dallas game, so I can't really comment as much on that one. But the Nashville game and the Edmonton game, both, it's where they lost that game in very similar fashions, in the sense that in the Nashville game, Nashville scored twice in the last, 5 minutes or so in the game, and then Edmonton was able to come back in the last couple of minutes and force an overtime, which they won on a shootout. It was just ridiculous. And so for the team to play that way is a bit of a concern. Now, if you go on such a long point streak that the Caps did through December and half of January, you're due for a couple of losses to come when you have that opportunity. I mean, sports goes like that, where you sort of ebbs and flows, and there's peaks and valleys, and maybe they're on a high peak, and now they're going through a little bit of a valley. But it's coming at the best time right now, where it's going off the All-Star break, so these guys have an opportunity to go home and relax and sort of recharge the batteries and refocus before they go for this, hopefully, a playoff run later on in the season. But those three games were pretty bad. But if it ends up being just a blip on the radar and they go back to the way they were playing after the All-Star break, then it's not that big of a deal. And if you go and it's not the same, but if you spread those games out throughout the point streak, it's not as big of a deal. There's kind of like games where they sort of, just shoot themselves in the foot. But to have three in a row is a little bit of a concern. But I think if they come in out of the All-Star break without this problem, if they come out firing and playing the way they were during December and the first part of January, then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't think this is a too big of a thing to worry about. But it's the fashion of the two of the three losses that really gets to me. I mean, you look at the Edmonton Oiler game. I mean, these guys were up, 3-1, 4-2. I mean, they were constantly in the lead until the very end of the game. Is that just fatigue, or are these guys kind of taking their foot off the pedal and letting these other teams come back? Because that's kind of been something that you've been preaching this season, is the fact that they let these teams kind of hang around until the bitter end instead of, finishing them off completely. Because I'll be honest, I was watching the Edmonton, or I was listening to the Edmonton Oilers game yesterday. I was driving home from work, and I was like, man, these guys sound great. I don't even have to watch the game when I go home. It's just like a slaughter. And then I keep listening and get phone notifications, and I finally get home, and geez, the game is almost tied, and then it becomes tied and goes to overtime. That was a game that they should not have lost in any way, and I don't know if it was just taking the foot off the pedal or going, these guys are done because we got a week break coming up. Like, I don't know what happened there. This just seemed like a lack of focus to me.
I would agree with that. I think it was a complete lack of focus. I think Niskanen with that stupid pass, maybe forgot that he and James Neal aren't on the Penguins anymore. And so he made that pass to him, which was a nice pass. I'll give him that. Except for the fact that Neal's not on his team. So it was just, I think so once they took the foot off the gas, they sort of relaxed a little bit. Maybe they're sort of already eyeing that break coming up with the All-Star game. And then they, you know, weren't as focused as they should be. And, you know, it was disappointing, but it is what it is. And it's just, in the end, hopefully it's just three games. And they come out after the All-Star break firing and they're doing well. And even though they've been sort of had some struggles lately, there are certain, you know, Ovechkin's been on a tear recently. He's got 8 goals in the past 2 weeks, so he's doing well. The defense had been playing well, so I'm guessing that these three games are just three games and it's not the end of the world. They're still all right in the standings. They're not, like, you know, they're not way behind. They still have an opportunity to go to the playoffs, but they're going to have to keep winning because the Islanders are doing that, the Rangers are doing that, and the Penguins are starting to turn things around. So they definitely have to start putting points on the up on the board.
Yeah, they need to get those points. That's why, I mean, halfway through the season, every point really, really, really matters at this point. So they definitely need to get focused. Hopefully this break, like you said, did come at the right time, and they can chill out for a little bit, enjoy themselves, and then get back to it next week. Let's talk about this Dallas game real quick. Justin Peters came in for Braden Holtby. A lot of people were pointing their fingers at Peters. He's saying he's not an NHL goalie. He doesn't have the skill to be on this team, but I don't want to put all the blame on him for Saturday. I mean, he's put in a tough position because for me, I don't know, let me know what you think. The dude hasn't played since around Thanksgiving. I mean, there's got to be some rust there to come in second game of a road trip and to perform that way. It has to be on the fact that it's not just him, but the fact that he hasn't played in so long.
I would definitely attribute some of his play potentially to that. Now, again, in the interest of full disclosure, I did not see most of Saturday's game, but from what I understand and from what I read, the defense definitely let him down as of the forwards in terms of back checking. And so it sounds like it wasn't just Peters. He wasn't the problem. And I know there are some people out there calling for Grubauer to come up and to send Peters down, but I don't think that's necessarily going to make a difference. I think Peters maybe gets to play a little bit more, but it seems like Holtby plays better almost the more games he gets. And I don't really blame Holtby for any of the losses they've had over the, well, definitely not the Dallas one because he didn't play, but the Nashville and Edmonton games, I don't blame on him. I think the defense and the forwards are the ones that are the problem. I have no problem with Peters. He's fine. What he's doing right now, he's the least of their worries at the moment.
Do you think though that Barry Trotz really should have filled him in more since November? Or do you think when Holtby's on a tear, you just got to let Holtby be Holtby?
I think when your starting goalie is playing as well as Holtby is playing and he does not seem to be getting tired and he seems to be all right, you keep playing him. I mean, Peters came in knowing he's going to be a backup goalie and he's got to be prepared for that, not playing for a while. And he was a backup for a while in Carolina, so he's got to sort of expect that kind of a thing. And he knew what he was getting himself into in D.C. So I think he was prepared for it, and it was just a game where the defense just didn't play as well as they should.
So let's talk about this. Barry Trotz has come out to the media, kind of talked about the fact that a lot of these or a few of these guys maybe aren't at the playoff caliber right now. And he even came out and said, you know, maybe we don't make the playoffs this year. For your head coach to say that, do you think these guys are ticked off at him? Do you think that this is motivation for the team? I honestly feel as if like he's told a few players. He doesn't seem like he's a guy who shies away from telling players like it is. So I'm wondering if he's gone to Andre Burakovsky or Nate Schmidt or Yevgeny Kuznetsov and said, look, you're not playing at NHL playoff caliber. You got to pick it up. You got to learn a little bit more. You guys are young. You're going to figure it out, but we need you to pick it up now. Do you think that he has done that, or do you think that or even, you know, let's cover it all. Do you even agree with what he said about this team not being able to make the play or possibly not making the playoffs this year?
I mean, the comment he made was today being Wednesday, the Caps not making the playoffs. I think that was just to fire the guys up. I don't think that was aimed at anyone in particular, just everyone sort of getting a little kick in the butt and getting a fire lit under them a little bit and just kind of waking them up after playing three crappy games. I don't think it was that big of a deal, and I don't think the players are going to be upset about it. I think the players really enjoy playing for him and the way he's coaching. It seems like everyone's pretty happy, you know, and so I'm not too worried about that one. The fact that he came out and said the Caps need a piece or two to win in the playoffs is a little bit more interesting. I was wondering who those players were, and I think my guess is it's Burakovsky and Schmidt, or possibly Hillen. or Kuznetsov, just because these are kind of the younger guys or guys that are playing in regards to Hill and, you know, the sixth defenseman. And so you may want to get an upgrade at that potential spot. You know, it's interesting to talk about Burakovsky and Kuznetsov, and Kuznetsov seems like he's getting more opportunities lately, especially since he's playing so much on the second line. But Burakovsky actually has 3 more points than him in 7 less games. Huh. So it'll be interesting to see which one they decide to go with. I think Kuznetsov is probably the better center, and that's why he's getting the spot on the second line. But Burakovsky's playing on that first line right wing. But you and I have been talking about this for a while. That team could certainly look to upgrade that first line right wing spot. I mean, we've been calling for a new Mike Knuble. The thing that annoys me is, like, if the Penguins can go and find Chris Kunitz years ago and they got David Perron this year, the Caps certainly can make a move to get somebody. I mean, the market is clearly out there. Someone can be brought in to be able to play with on the first line with Backstrom and Ovechkin. And you know what? Maybe you have to go and drop a first-round pick to be able to get a player like that. The Penguins did that when they picked up Perron. If that's something you have to do, you can go ahead and do that if you're going to find a guy who's going to be able to play on your first-line right wing for a couple of years. Now, you and I had talked before as to whether we wanted to be an older guy or a younger guy playing on that first line, depending on how long they feel Tom Wilson's going to take before he's ready for the first line, or Burakovsky, or whoever it's going to be. But if you got to move out a first-round pick and maybe a sort of a mid-level prospect to be able to bring in someone that can actually play on the first line, then that's what you need.
Well, like, here's my question. I mean, Tom Wilson, I was pretty impressed with Tom Wilson on that top line. And I didn't like the fact, like, I'm okay with them taking him off the top line to try out other guys, but I want to see him back up there. I kind of feel as if he was flourishing a bit up there, and I want to see him continue to get better and better. Something that I think Brian McClellan brought up, the fact that they brought up the Philip Forsberg trade again. And, of course, you know, if you go listen to past episodes of What the Puck, you'll hear myself say that I think this was GM's final battle here. And if this doesn't work out, and Martin Erat doesn't work out, he's going to be gone. And everyone's still bringing that up, how much of a dumb move that was to bring in Erat. And he even said, we're not going to give up younger guys that can develop into good guys for a, like, short-term veteran player just to get in the playoffs. And we've seen GM do that in the past. So if they do want to bring in somebody older, a more veteran talent for that top spot with Ovi and Backstrom, I don't know who they trade off, because, like, you could trade off somebody like Marcus Johansson, but I can't see that.
You go out and you move a couple of the, they have a plethora at this point of young defensemen who have the potential to be able to move up. So, I mean, you could trade someone like Nate Schmidt. You could trade someone like, maybe not Cameron Schilling, but Patrick Way. You could trade Connor Carrick. There's a couple of defensemen down in the minors that teams may be interested in. And if there's a team like Toronto who's looking to dump a bunch of contracts and dump a bunch of guys, and maybe they're looking to rebuild, because they're definitely just a team that's just a dump truck fire, whatever it's called, a dumpster fire right now. That team is a mess. If they're looking to move out a couple of guys, maybe you move a first-round pick and a defensive prospect to be able to bring in someone that can play on your team. Now, I'm not saying you bring in Phil Kessel. I don't think he's the answer. And you're definitely not going to be able to bring in Dion Phaneuf just because that contract is a nightmare and he's not as good as he used to be. But there, maybe you go on and you get someone like Joffrey Lupul. I mean, he's been injured more times than Brooks Like, it seems like. But the guy certainly has been able to score goals. I don't know if he's a first-line guy you need. I prefer someone who can crash the net a little more. But there's definitely an opportunity to bring in someone that can play on that first line. I mean, if you go and you look, if other teams are able to do it, the market is clearly out there. You go out and you find a way to bring in a first-line player. And to go back on the Forsberg trade, I mean, I hate to rehash it just because it's just a nightmare of a trade that the Caps made then. McPhee definitely screwed up on that one. But I think he was desperate to make the playoffs, and he was listening to the scouts and a couple guys, including apparently McClellan, in regards to what they should do with Forsberg, and they decided to move him out. And you know, it ended up being a bad trade in the end. But if Forsberg's on the team now, I think Burakovsky's still playing in the juniors. There's no question about that. And so it'll be interesting to see going forward how good Forsberg is of a player. I mean, because you've seen guys that come out and play great at the beginning of their career and then they fizzle out. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys. I do think he's a very talented player. He's going to stick around for a number of years. He certainly looks like a guy who's going to win the Calder this year, which, you know, it kind of hurts as a Caps fan knowing that he probably should still be on the team because that trade was just so stupid. But
I still don't believe that GM had any.
I don't think he and Oates were talking, and that was the freaking problem. Well, he brought in a guy just based on his name and idea alone, but he didn't bring in someone that the team actually needed. And it was a panic move because of the injury, because Brooks Like. But I it was a dumb move because I don't think you make a panic move like that knowing a guy like could eventually come back. I think you go, if you're going to acquire someone, you're going to acquire someone you know is going to fit in your team that the coach is also a fan of and knows it will fit in. You don't just acquire a guy and go, here's all your toys, have fun.
And I also don't think Philip Forsberg was ever going to be a Capital. I honestly, truly, 100% believe that.
Not with McPhee in charge. I think if they'd gone out and
I think McPhee,
if they kept him around, or you know, I think he definitely could have been. I think McPhee, for whatever reason, was just like, he listened to his scouts and they're like, you know what? He might be a little slow. I'm like, well, you can kind of work that out of him. Make him lose weight. You if that's the problem, you can work on those things. It's like, if he has natural talent and the problem is that he's a little slow, you know, you can work on that.
Well, not even going past that, I think they drafted him because he dropped so quickly and no one was expecting Forsberg to be that low. I think they got him, they drafted him knowing they were going to trade him out with him without him ever getting a Capitals jersey. I think he was literally bought as a bargaining chip.
Did they draft him as a bargaining chip?
I absolutely 100% do.
See, I think if McClellan's in charge, or if McClellan was in charge at the time, I don't think he gets traded. But, okay, I mean, because it's hard to say. I forget who I was talking. I think it was it Dave S. on Twitter we were talking to? Or maybe it was just me. We were talking how if the trade never goes down – I can't remember who it was now. If the trade doesn't go down, then the Caps never get Trotz. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, kind of, maybe, I guess that might be the case. But it could also be like if those guys were in charge, I think that Forsberg's still in the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean – it's all hearsay at this point, but I mean, I don't see if GM got him, they drafted. I honestly think they took him in the draft saying we're going to use him down the road to get a veteran player from somebody else. I don't think he was ever going to play in the Capitals organization. I mean, as a fan, I really wanted him to, because I mean, he did have some skill, you know, seeing him at developmental camp, and now you see what he's doing now, and you're like, wow, this guy could have been good. But I mean, we do have the chips that we have right now with young guys like Nate Schmidt and Tom Wilson and Andrei Burakovsky and Yevgeny Kuznetsov. So I mean, it's not like we're hurting for young guys, but yeah, he would have been a great addition to this team, but I don't think he was ever going to be a part of this team. But with the trade deadline coming, the All-Star break coming, obviously with Barry Trotz saying there's one or two pieces that maybe aren't playoff ready that he thinks we could have a better position for, obviously they want to make some moves. Whether or not that actually happens and they get what they really want, it seems to me as if, you know, Brian McClellan, he came in over the summer, he wanted to make sure people knew that this was now his organization, and he did some very un-George McPhee things by, you know, spending a lot of money on Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen. But I have a feeling like he doesn't fear trading somebody away that that is big money to get, you know, a bigger name. I don't know what his plan is, but I feel as if he would make some drastic moves if him and Trotz felt as if they needed to.
See, and that's the key part, that he and Trotz are working together, and I think that's the biggest thing. And that was the mistake with McPhee and Oates and the whole Forsberg Erat Lotta thing, was that they weren't working together to decide which player they wanted to bring in. And you think with the deadline being the way it was going, and you know, I wonder if they were looking at somebody else that day and it didn't work out and the player ended up going somewhere else, or decided the team decided not to trade him, whoever it was, that they panicked and he ended up trading Forsberg away just because a couple of the scouts may have been like, well, he's a little slow. Well, we can work on that, can't we? So it's just one of those stupid things. And I think that the fact that Trotz and McClellan are working together to find a player, I think it's definitely a good thing, in that they're going to, if they decide to go out and find a first line winger, or a player in general, they're going to find someone that both of them agree on is the right player for this team.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. It's not going to be one of those things like, hey, look what I got you, Dustin Penner. Isn't
look
he
at
cool?
Hey, I think they misused Penner. He could
have been absolutely.
Now, it's interesting. Has Penner actually signed with anybody?
No, he just kind of hangs out on Instagram now.
I see. I like the Penner deal, but Oates clearly did not.
Yeah, exactly. So, Oates was just like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this guy?
What's this? Who's this gentleman?
We don't need him. What am I supposed to do with him?
That was such a freaking... Just that whole deadline was like, yay, no, what? Why are you trading? And then they did nothing with it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, let's put him back here with Tom Wilson. Tom, you're not doing anything, are you? Oh, yeah, 30 seconds a game? He's fine. He's learning. That's what kids do.
Well done all around.
All right, anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Well, I was going a little stats update on the team, but going into the All-Star break, it's Nicholas Backstrom leading the team in points. He's got 47 points. Ovechkin is second at 43, with John Carlson in third at 34 points. Now, Mike Green and Marcus Johansson are tied for fourth with 27 points each, which I found rather interesting. Backstrom still getting screwed over and not going to the All-Star game, but whatever. The only players on the team without a goal so far this season are Brooks Orpik, who does have 9 assists, Jack Hillen, who has 4 assists, and Michael Lotta, who also has 4 assists. I also found it interesting that Tom Wilson, Carl Alsner, and Brooks Lake all have 11 points.
Huh.
Now, Alsner's not exactly known as a goal scorer or a point getter in general, but the fact that he's tied with a guy making $4.5 million a year in Brooks Lake, who's supposed to be a point guy, although he's been playing on the third line, checking role more lately. The fact that Lake's only got 11 points is a little bit of a concern, and the fact that he's tied with Tom Wilson is also rather interesting, if you ask me. But, yeah, I mean, that's where sort of what the team is at right now in terms of the stats. I think Burakovsky's got 18-37, which is respectable, because Kuznetsov's got 15-44, but I think he had a hard time earlier in the season scoring points. I think he's waking up now. I'd like to see a few more goals out of Kuznetsov. He's only got 4, and the guy's definitely noticed a goal scored, so I'd like to see a little bit more there. But, you know, point-wise, I think this team is doing okay in terms of the players. I just think that they definitely need a first-line right wing. And, you know, they need the defense to step up, unlike the way they've been playing the last couple of games. I think they got too cute. They got too – I can't remember who it was, but I think it might have been Adam Vingan or someone like that was talking about how the guys were playing really well, and they suddenly thought it was 2009 with Boudreaux all over again. They can be all, like, the cutesy stuff. It just doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't work anymore. And this is the hopefully Barry Trotz is going to take this time off from everybody else. Everybody goes their separate ways. They can regroup, come back, and realize that there's not that many games left in this season. I mean, we're already at the halfway point, so they need as many points as they can get. And I wouldn't be surprised if this team looked a little different by the end of the season. I definitely can see somebody being brought in and a couple guys leaving. So we'll see what happens down the road. But as of right now, I mean, going into the All-Star break, I'm happy with this team. I feel as if they've shown some of their best hockey in the last 2 months. This past week, not the greatest, but obviously they kind of know what they got to fix here, because Barry Trotz is not scared to tell people what they need to fix. So I think we're just heading in the right direction. So I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. So we are going to go down on the farm. But before we do, here is a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we are. We are going to talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. We are going down on the farm. Donkey Dan,
no,
tell us.
What the hell is that one?
Donkey Dan. Tell us what's going on down on the farm.
I don't want to anymore.
this is my favorite part of the show. Not even going to lie.
This is the worst. Since we last talked, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Albany in overtime and Lehigh Valley. The Bears are currently first in the East Division with a record of 21-13-5, good for 47 points, 3 up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton, with Hershey having played 2 less games. So the Bears are certainly moving on up. The Bears play again tonight, again, that being Wednesday. Last I checked, they're up 6-1 against Lehigh. The Bears play again tonight on the road against Lehigh Valley, where they're up 6-1 last I checked on Twitter. They play again at home on Saturday at the Giant Center against Binghamton. Now, down in South Carolina, they did not have such a good week, going 0-3 and are currently on a 5-game losing streak. Stingrays are currently fifth in the East Division with a record of 17-14-3, good for 41 points, 12 back of first place Florida. Stingrays play next on Saturday at home against Reading, Sunday at home against Florida, Tuesday on the road in Orlando, and then on the road on Wednesday against Florida. Now, in some minor league player news, Connor Carrick has been added to the Eastern Conference AHL All-Star roster. Also, your favorite player, Nathan Walker, was sent down to South Carolina today, that being Wednesday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Cheers, mate. Going down to the Stingrays. That's what he's doing. He's Australian. It's the best I can do for Australia.
Just stop what you're doing.
Oh, man.
You're insulting Australians everywhere.
So the Stingrays are up against Reading this weekend. So our former ECHL teams going against each other. That's interesting.
Sure. Like, I'd screw them. They're affiliated with the Flyers. Sorry, Weebly Purple. Sorry, dude, but you're with the Flyers, so screw you guys.
That poor guy. All right. Well, that's
we it. All make mistakes.
That's it for Down on the Farm. Thank you so much for the information, Donkey Dan.
Now, no, stop it.
Now we are going to go around the NHL. All right, here we go. Plenty going on around the NHL. I'm sure some people got fired. I'm sure somebody's been suspended.
How would you automatically assume someone got fired?
It's the NHL. I mean, that's just what happens here. I mean, if you have like a 10-game losing streak, you're going to get fired in some way. So somebody's getting suspended or fired or fined or concussed or something. And Coach Dan's going to keep us up to date about what's going on. So what's going on around the NHL?
Let's see. Ray Whitney retired today after spending 22 seasons in the NHL. Whitney played 1,330 NHL games with 8 teams, scoring 385 goals and collecting 1,064 points. That's a lot of points.
A lot of points. Tell
you. I got to think, if you play 82 games a year, I mean, I guess it includes playoff games, but 1,330 games, that is incredibly impressive. LA retired Rob Blake's number 4 this past Sunday, becoming the first defenseman and 6th player overall to have his jersey retired by the Kings. Blake is the team's all-time leading scorer and games played by a defenseman. The New York Rangers and Mark Stahl agreed to an extension reported by ESPN, of all networks, to be 6 years with a cap hit of $5.7 million. So he's going to be sticking around with the Rangers for quite a while. I think he's got a no-trade clause for the first 3 years as well as a no-movement clause. So it's Stahl's not going anywhere anytime soon. Minnesota acquired goalie Devin Dubnyk. I always look at his name and think of dubstep.
What is happening? What is that? Why am I sweating so much?
Because you're feeling it.
From Arizona for a 3rd-round pick in this upcoming summer's NHL draft. Chicago forward Daniel Carcillo got suspended for 6 games for cross-checking Winnipeg's Matthew Perreault. He should have gotten more, as that cross-check was in no way necessary or a part of the play. The guy's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did not see it.
Did Perreault's arm get broken in the end? I'm not sure exactly. I
thought it was.
It certainly looked like it. It was just such a douche move. Screw Carcillo. The guy's a douche. I don't know if I said that word enough in the past 30 seconds. Minnesota defenseman Ryan Suter was suspended 2 games for elbowing Pittsburgh forward Steve Downey last Tuesday. Personally, I think it's kind of like karma for Downey. That guy is such he's also a douche, and so for him to get elbowed, as long as it wasn't head, is okay in my book. Also, I had to drop Suter from my fantasy team since dude's killing me. Mm-hmm. He's just not doing great this season. Anaheim defenseman Sammy Vatanen, who's also on my fantasy team, was fined $3,393.82. That's important, which is the maximum allowed under the collective bargaining agreement. You know that thing the owners will complain about the next time it's time to make a new one and go on to have another lockout.
Woo! Lockouts rule!
Yeah! Here we go again. No, I'm just kidding. He was fined for elbowing Toronto forward. Why is everybody elbowing people? Elbowing Toronto forward David Booth last Wednesday. And finally, since the NHL hasn't annoyed me in quite a while. Oh, no, wait. They did that last week with those kindergarten-made All-Star jerseys. Oh. I guess they felt it was time. They announced – I can't believe I'm going to do this. They announced today that they will host the first inaugural NHL mascot showdown. It is as dumb as it sounds. The mascots – and again, I can't believe I'm actually saying these words – will compete in broom ball and dodgeball games on Friday, followed by a freaking dance-off, relay races – I hate myself right now – including a game of leapfrog, which I'm guessing is going to end horribly, and tug of war, which I'm also guessing will likely end very comically. Oh, that God. Those will all be on Saturday. This is actually happening.
Is this going to be televised?
I believe so.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, don't quote me on that. Go to NHL.com for more unfortunate information. And yes, I know you're wondering this. Slapshot will be there.
Yeah.
But you know who won't? That stupid mini-me version called Hattrick or some crap. I hate that guy.
Why do you always hate that bird?
Because he's dumb. And this whole thing is dumb because the NHL is dumb with this stupid – I'm done with this crap.
Somebody needs
that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
I'm rooting for Slapshot.
I'm rooting for it to not happen.
The dance-off, that's just
– I don't want to talk
about
it. I even it hurt to even type that up.
Have you seen the South Carolina Stingrays mascot yet?
Is it a giant stingray?
You should check that out.
Oh crap!
You should just check that out.
Look it up.
I'll finish the show. You check that out.
You have to kill. All right. Scared, but okay.
All right, so that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. So if you want to continue the conversation, you know where to reach Coach Dan or I. We are both on Twitter. I am at Brando Cash. I almost forgot there for a second. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Are there any new ones, Brandon, that you are interested in purchasing?
I have not seen the January Slapshot bobblehead yet, but I assume he's in a tuxedo. Next month, I'm guessing he's going to be dressed as Cupid. The month after that, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a leprechaun.
That all sounds so dumb.
And I still want the Santa one, and I'm probably going to buy the leprechaun one.
You got to go on eBay probably to find that one.
Yeah, I don't get to go to Verizon Center Ascot. Very much.
Holy crap, that thing is frightening.
The South Carolina Stingray?
Yeah, that thing is just... Look, if I'm a kid, I'm running away. It looks like something from Family Guy. That is the
worst.
You were
on a Family Guy kick tonight.
No particular reason, but... It really is kind of scary. That is frightening. All right, sorry. Anyways, back to CapitalsOutsider.com and their bobbleheads. This is, as I said, a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. If you go to BrandoCash.com, you can check out all the podcasts, all the photos, all the videos you would ever want to see from us. Let's see what else we got. Let's go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. We'll put out news articles and photos and anything else Washington Capitals related we think you guys would dig. And you'll also be the first ones to know when a new episode of What the Puck comes out. You can also follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So make sure you check that out. We do this show completely for free. You guys download, stream, or listen for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. So all we are asking for you guys in return is to let somebody know about the show, help us promote the show, help us get even bigger. All you got to do is say, hey, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Educate yourself about hockey and listen to What the Puck. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Let people know that you're a Caps fan and they should listen to What the Puck because they should be watching hockey as well. And if you want Coach Dan or I to tell these people themselves, mention us in a tweet and let us know about, these guys are accessible and you should listen to them because they'll tweet to you and tell you to listen themselves. That's what we'll do.
Or so, you'll fight with us about Winter Classic information.
That too. We'll do that as well. So coming up this weekend is the All-Star Game. So on Friday night on NBC Sports, you can watch the All-Star Fantasy Draft. On Saturday, you can watch the Skills Competition. That's my favorite. And on Sunday...
And the mascot stuff.
Yeah.
That's in no way important.
Coach Dan's favorite.
No.
Coach Dan's favorite thing. He is going to give you a play-by-play on Twitter using the hashtag Donkey Dan.
All right. You need to stop drinking before the show. Little update on the Bears game. So now Lehigh Valley Phantoms are crawling their way back. It's only 7-2 now.
Oh, wow. So they're coming back.
So
on Friday night on NBC Sports, you can watch the NHL All-Star Fantasy Draft at 7:30. The Skills Competition will then air Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And then the 2015 NHL All-Star Game will be Sunday, January 25th at 5 p.m. So make sure you guys check that out. Until we record again next week, there is no Caps hockey until next week, guys. So it's going to be kind of hard to get through this next couple days or whatever. So
I don't have to wait. They were just playing.
That's very true. On Tuesday, January 27th, the Capitals are in Columbus. So Ovi's just going to stay in Columbus and hang out there for the week.
That would make sense.
Up against the Blue Jackets. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Wednesday, January 28th, Wednesday night, rivalry night, the Capitals are back in D.C. at the phone booth up against those pesky Penguins, up against the Gwynns. That game is at 8 o'clock, and that will be televised nationally on NBC Sports. So make sure you check out those games. Since they're playing on Tuesday and Thursday, you're not going to hear from Coach Dan or I until next Thursday, so we actually have something to review before the next show. So we're going to let them play up against the Blue Jackets and the Penguins until then you'll hear us after those two games. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. The All-Star break's going on. Ovechkin's going to be the guy helping and representing the Capitals, wearing that red. So make sure you're cheering for him this weekend. Let's hope he gets drafted number one in the fantasy draft. Everybody say it with me, and Coach Dan's going to scream it too for Slapshot in that mascot game.
Nope.
Let's go Caps and Slapshot and Ovechkin in the All-Star game. Woo!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
And then they're on the road against Lehigh Valley, and at home, I butcher that whole thing by repeating myself. Don't put that on Twitter. let me back up. The Bears play again tonight. Again, that... Oh, God damn it. Okay, one more time.
Donkey Dan.
Moving on.
I'm running out of animals that start with D, though.
We could just not do it, and we'll be fine.
I feel like I kind of have to at this point. I mean, how many weeks have we been doing this now, and I've come up with some good ones? I don't know.
I disagree strongly.
All right.